Time to get real. I want to see some crazy whiz-biz.
What's the magic made out of, ding-dong?
I want to see some of that whiz-biz.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for showing up to WizBiz with Alex and Eric on this, our final episode of season four, where we get into the episodes that make us cry and howl with delight. This is Adventure Time, of course, that we're talking about. I'm Eric.
I'm Alex.
And today we are talking about Adventure Time season four, episode 25, I Remember You, and episode 26, The Lich. Alex, how's everything going?
It's going, just sunshine and roses and gangbusters and gangbanging and the bang bus and bang bang, the walls of heartache, just all the things. How
great.
Are you?
Things are going. I've got some things that I'm really excited about and some things that I'm really frustrated with. It feels like everything seems to be evening out in a nice way. However, today I spent a lot of time walking around, and our part of Portland is very beautiful right now. Lots of flowers are blooming. The trees are doing their thing. I haven't taken allergy medicine for the last few weeks, and I'm still mostly doing okay. It does feel like there might be like a goblin with a feather duster somewhere up my nose, but it hasn't been horrifying. So I've been kind of enjoying the smells and sights of spring while walking around.
I went outside once. I don't recommend it. It was like outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but like very little climate control out there.
I know.
It's
crazy.
It's like wild. Yeah.
But it's pleasant right now. These are the nice days for walking around outside. It's sometimes a little cool, sometimes a little warm, but mostly it's kind of in between.
I mean, I'll take your word on it, but like a little suspect.
So we've got we've got one of those Adventure Time episodes that really tugs at the heartstrings coming up first.
Heart
strings.
Yeah. Oh, those emotions you know, there's you guys like are a thing. Paddling on
yeah.
about.
Yeah. So I do have a.
Ooh, I feel things.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. How about you stop bragging? Go back to your unfeeling corner.
I have a treat for us.
Oh, is it emotions? Because I don't want them.
Oh my God. Yeah, I invented I invited Chris the Emotion Lord to join us.
Oh, thank Christ. Or thank Chris. Eric is going into his bag.
Yes, I have chocolate. I'm pretty sure Alex likes chocolate. It's got marzipan in the middle, or as I guess I'm supposed to say, marzipan.
Well, that's the way Americans pronounce it. Can I see? Before you open, there are certain things that are tricky that I cannot eat that lie
right.
about being glutinous.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something glutinous in there. I didn't look at the ingredient list. I just popped it open because I figured sometimes a little bit of suffering is worth a little bit of suffering or a little bit of
joy. Invert sugar. What is this?
Invert sugar? That's sugar.
No, I just think it's a funny phrase.
I was going to make something up. I have no idea what invert sugar is.
It's sugar that's upside down. I'm debating dark chocolate, sugarcane, cocoa butter, whole milk, powder emulsifier. Probably not.
Not even one square?
Maybe one square, but like if I get a raw tummy, blame your friendship.
Okay. I can handle that.
I mean, yeah, because I'm not going to report back to you on it, so it's not, you'll literally never know.
The other day I was at a bus stop in Southeast Portland, and right next to the bus stop is Edelweiss, which is a little German deli sort of thing. And so I was like, oh man, I gotta go get some good chocolate. So I ran in and I got this chocolate bar, and it's been waiting for us to record.
All right. I'm down. Would you like a lick of my flavor bar? That's a quote from The Simpsons. Uter, I have in my hands a piece of chocolate with what on the inside can only be described as like a marzipan-like substance.
That's literally what it is. That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. I was being facetious.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, it's kind of Kind of tastes a little boozy.
The chocolate's really good. I don't think I like marzipan.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The chocolate's very nice, though. The outer layer is very pleasant.
Well.
Do I not like marzipan? Is that true?
I don't know.
I don't either. Time to just get a marzipan part. No, it's all right. It's growing on me now. I think I just like the chocolate a lot more than the, like, yeah. I think what I'm getting is, I kind of wish there wasn't marzipan in it. Like, the marzipan's nice, but it's like, I kind of just wish it was, like, just chocolate. But it's very good. I thank you for it, because I haven't had marzipan in probably 25 years.
Really? Oh, man.
I think I was living in New Jersey the last time I had any of that stuff.
So the first time I had marzipan was in Lübeck, in the city that this chocolate came from.
Oh, cool.
So one of the things I really like when I go to German delis is I look for chocolate with marzipan.
I went to where I was friends in high school with a kid whose last name was Lübeck.
Oh, so I remember you.
And you will remember me.
I love this episode, and this episode
loves you.
Makes me cry every time I watch it, and I cried this morning when I watched it. I cried. I ate my breakfast, and I cried, and then I took notes.
I watched it with sullen American perseverance and gumption, feeling nothing. I stared blank face, and then I occasionally got angry because I'm American, and that's what I'm allowed to be as a male. This episode's great. I get a little misty at the end, but we'll talk about it when we get there. Because the thing I have to say is related directly to the last 8 seconds of the episode, and that's probably not the thing you start the episode talking about.
Well,
see, I'm getting good at this.
I think the beginning of the episode, one of the things that's really interesting is when Ice King is doing the Marceline's Fry song.
Yeah.
And he comes out in this Marceline wig. Gunter is like super happy.
Yes.
He loves that wig. I don't think he gives a shit about Marceline, but he loves the wig.
Yeah. He also, Gunter has a little floating heart above his head at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird because this is the most like enamored we've seen Gunter with the Ice King, which is, yeah, as we learn later, out of character for that, in quotes, penguin.
Yeah. JT Dogzone comes up again.
Yeah, our favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also, I love when Ice King's like, quick, Gunter, to the past room.
Yes. The past room is terrific.
The past
room. Oh, yeah, the past room.
Mm-hmm.
I question how that stuff has been there that long. Only because the first time we see him interact with it, he's just like, I'm just going to rip all these pages out and walk away with it.
It's
It seems, I mean, whatever. It's not, it was just one of those, like, it's strange. Like, oh, I've kept this stuff for 1,000 years. And then the one time we get to see it as an audience, like, oh, just rip the fucking pages out of the back of the book.
Yeah, I agree that that's sort of a funny thing. There's also one of Betty's scarves is in that room.
Oh, and I didn't
I'm
see
sort
that,
of like, how would a scarf last for 1,000 years?
I mean, they've got batteries and shit still. So, I think we've accepted that there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff that's lasted 1,000 years.
But it's just so cold there. The ice, does the ice help?
Well, wait a second. I've seen 4,000-year-old scarves, like from Egypt.
Yeah, but they were in bad shape.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, you know. Maybe not.
Yeah, it could survive.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, only 1,000 years. Come on.
Yeah, just 1,000 years.
Yeah, it's made of that Merlino wool. That shit lasts forever.
So we learned some weird stuff about Ice King in this episode. This is only the third time that anybody has referred to him as Simon. So yes. We still haven't had the big reveal.
Wait, what big reveal?
I mean, it's not a big reveal, but like we haven't the past between Marceline and Simon hasn't fully fleshed out.
Right?
We've just had some little.
I just like made like a specific part. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure I know what you're talking about, but my brain is not connecting.
And I'm not sure that there's a really big reveal left with that story. Like we know, I think already that Ice King was Simon Petrikov, and that Simon took care of young Marceline.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's the big reveal. But it feels like the Ice King Marceline story, like the stuff that gets revealed later on, is just sort of filling in. The stuff. I think one of the weirdest things about it is, like, you know, Simon is driven insane by the Ice King crown, but somehow there is some part of him that still links him to Marceline. You know, Marceline talks about how she keeps moving and he keeps finding her.
Yeah. And then the first song he sings where he's singing like, how can I get Princess Bubblegum to love me? Oh, please, pretty much anyone love me. I'm so alone. Why won't anybody tell me what's wrong with me? And that's like, oh boy, that's a puller. Cause like, yeah, it's interesting. Cause like he sort of knows that he doesn't know who he is, but also he doesn't actually know that. Like, he's like, I don't really remember, or don't I? Like, you know, have I always been this way? But I mean, you know, on a spiritual level, on a be here now Ram Dassian level, I mean, Ice King's kind of perfect. Like, he's just in the moment. There is no past. There is no future. He's just a creature existing.
Yeah, it's just a shame that he's so dangerous.
Well, I mean, come on. He's not that dangerous unless you're a princess or anybody near him.
I guess one of the nice things about it is a really weird dynamic, though. Like, Marceline and the Ice King are both they've both been alive for over 1,000 years, and they've been tied together for that whole time. Marceline sort of had like a really like she hasn't shown up a ton, right? She's been around, but hasn't really been main character status.
Yeah. In comparison to where she leads, yeah.
But so it's sort of interesting to see that she has so much character development and so much change or so much depth added to her. You know, because when we first saw her, when she was just like, you know, trying to scare Finn and Jake, like she could have been a throwaway character at that point. But now, you know, she's important.
Yeah, she's kind of, you know, fifth lead-ish, you know.
Yeah. Like,
but on a show with this many characters, that's actually pretty high up.
It is, and I love how they slowly develop the arc, the story between Simon and Marceline.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's what they intended originally. This is definitely something that I added on later.
Yeah, good. Good animation and vocal performance by Levy Olsen, where she sees Ice King fly outside the play outside the house, and they just do no. Like, there's like this like, oh, I'm not enough. I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, you can't come in here and make me feel these things. And it's really well done. Which,
oh man,
it's hard to do. I mean, it's a single syllable animated. It carried a lot.
Mm-hmm. It really carried a lot. Yeah, the other one that I really liked is when she takes the apple out of the fridge. And then just sort of like slumps down on the floor and like pushes the apple away. I thought that there were some really, it makes this episode really good.
Yeah.
Like
the animation did get a lot better this season.
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. We first noticed it when Princess Bubblegum's style kind of got updated and we were talking about like the close-ups that were happening in that one episode a while back.
The next episode we're going to talk about today has that same thing. Her face looks much more expressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some fun things about this episode. Like, I mean, I'm not sure what to say about this episode, except that I feel like it's unskippable. Like, if you are rewatching Adventure Time and you really want to get the full experience, you need to get a box of Kleenexes and watch I Remember You. You can't skip this one. You're probably going to get a little misty-eyed. If you've never watched it before, you're going to get a little confused. But
if you never watched it before, you're not going to get misty-eyed at all, because this episode is there's no emotion in it unless you know the characters.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's true.
Literally this episode means nothing unless you're very familiar with these characters. Not nothing, but there's not – this doesn't – I think it's the problem with – there's no problem. This episode's fucking brilliant. But the reason I didn't have the emotional hit I was expecting is because – we don't have enough of the backstory. I mean, we talked about it long enough. I can kind of break my silence on the end here. Is the end where we see Simon and Marceline for a second, and he gets the little
Hambo.
I couldn't think of the name of it. And gives it to her for the first time. And they're like, he's still kind of human, and she's whatever the hell she is. And she's a little girl. Like, that world, like that first episode that we see them fully in the past, that's the one that like kills me. And that's the one that carries weight for me. But if you like watching this out of like, let's say this is the second episode you watch of the show, like, I'd be like, What does that even fucking mean? Like, oh, I guess they used to know each other. Like, there's not that kind of depth.
That's a good point.
I mean, there's definitely there. Like, it's there for us because we've watched all of it. But because in my head, I always think how do you get someone to speed run Adventure Time to get to the good episodes? You know, it's something that we've struggled with in the 4 seasons we're doing this, that this would be one of them. But it's like, well, you need at least, you know, three episodes of Ice King and Marceline before this to even get a hint of why this means anything. And yeah, it's an interesting kind of thought experiment that I'm never going to go through because we've already done the show for four seasons.
Yeah,
like, and we're already getting to the good stuff. So like, it's like, yeah, like this is the good stuff. Like this is to me like the fulcrum point of like, oh, cool. Now it's episodic storytelling. I mean, there's still a lot of one-offs, but like,
I mean, season five is brilliant.
This starts I'm the story. You know, we get Farmworld and Lich and Prismo. I think shows up season five, like in, like actual Prismo. Mm-hmm. Like it's. Now it's the story that leads to the end of Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to because it's embarrassing to talk about a children's show as an adult.
So. is it?
No, I just thought it'd be funny to say. I don't get paid to be here. Like this is I'm choosing to be here. you're not getting paid, are you?
Wait, you're not getting paid?
No, what are you getting?
Oh, you know, like $1 million an episode.
No wonder you got marzipan money. Make sure you're showing up here with Ferrero Rochers like a proper rich guy.
Oh, Ferrero Rochers are so blue collar.
I think we both said that really well for probably the hardest thing to pronounce in the world.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't do it great, but like, I think we did really well for, we probably haven't said that in a while.
I haven't. And, I'm trying to think, did I add an extra syllable?
I think you had a slightly longer kind of second R, but like.
Isn't it Ferrero Rocher? Or is it Ferrero?
No, I think it's Ferrero. No, maybe. Okay, let me put it this way. I want to say Ferrero. That is the word I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Whether or not that is actually the name of the product, I cannot answer that. But I can say that in my brain, that is the category index of syllables that need to be said is that one.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And it's from some foreign country. I can pronounce it any way I want.
So one cool thing in this episode that sort of ties it into the next episode, the final episode of the season, is... you know, Simon was the one who found the Enchiridion, right? Originally.
Wait, is that in this world?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the newspaper clip that's one of the newspaper clips, the one where Simon has discovered the Enchiridion. He loses it again, but
yeah, no, you're totally right. I was because there's that alternate world where he finds it and then gets blown up by the bomb or whatever. Like I forgot. Yeah, totally. You're 100% right.
Yeah, so we do see the Enchiridion in a newspaper clip. And then the other thing that I really love, that weird instrument that they have that they're playing.
The like guitar-looking thing? Yeah.
That's an omnichord.
Oh. Yeah, he's like a bad guy, and he like punches people's brains off. Oh, no, it's Omni-Man.
It was an instrument, I think, made by like Sony in like the 80s.
It looked Sony.
Yeah, it was an 80s instrument. It's amazing that one of them lasted 1,000 years, but... it's pretty cool that it was in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're friends with a Game Boy on this show. So, like, shit lasts. I mean, they built stuff to last in the land of Ooh, or, you know, the whatever they called it. Because we still don't know if it was actually Earth. Well, they have
cheers.
It was
actually Earth.
Yeah, I know. But, like,
But we have, like, artifacts.
Yeah, but we don't have sentient BMOs. And the world ended in the late 90s, isn't it, in the show?
I don't know that there's any definite date.
I thought they dated it at one point. This is like fan dating. But because of the show's reference, like there's a point where the show stopped getting referenced. Because keep in mind, it's all Mr. Belvedere and the Cheers theme are the ones that...
Right.
And then I think maybe even there was a cell phone reference. It doesn't matter. I think there's a fan theory accepted when the bomb went off. And it was, I think we're past that point in our actual history.
I mean,
and we still don't have BMOs.
No.
We got that little freaking Aibo dog, that piece of shit, sitting there trying to do flips. Oh, yeah, look at me. I'm trying to be cute and a robot. Yeah, I see you trying to take over.
Well.
I've drank a lot of coffee today.
Yeah, you seem like you're really on top of things.
Yeah, I literally had my fourth cup of coffee before you got here because I've been sleeping really badly. So, yeah, I'm vibrating. Like I can, like, the Flash through doors right now.
Let's do it. Just run at the wall.
I just did.
Oh, and you came back.
Yeah, you didn't say I've just like six times already.
Yeah, well, I haven't. I only had a little bit of caffeine today, so I am obviously operating on a much slower.
Well, you can run through the screen door.
I might later.
Yeah, I mean, I got to buy a screen door first, but.
yeah, I don't know that I have a whole lot more to say about this episode. Except,
yeah, I mean, sorry, go.
You know. I did pause it so I could read the stuff on the back of Marceline's picture.
Oh, it is. It's just what she says, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. But yeah, I mean, like, that's such a tearjerker of a thing. Like, Marceline going through Simon's notes and turning them into lyrics on the fly. And the Ice King just being like, oh, yeah, this is great. And having no awareness of what's going on.
I did like the forgive me for whatever I do when I don't remember you.
That's such a good line.
It's a great line for Simon to write. And then also like lyrically that flows really nicely.
Audience
at home, I made like a little writing in the air motion with my hand to denote flowing nicely.
Yes. Air scribbles, I think.
Air scribbles. Yes.
That's, air cursive.
Hey, there's no rules that scribbles can't play in basketball. It's an Air Bud reference.
Yeah, I mean, this episode is just a real piece of art. It's one of the best ones out of the entire series.
I disagree with that.
Okay, well, you're wrong.
No, it's a very good episode, like very, very quality. But I would say it's not one of the best ones only because it doesn't stand up on its own legs. Like, you need a lot of backstory. There's a lot of other versions.
Do you think that an episode needs to stand on its own legs in order to be
like, not that in order to be like the best of the series? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it needs to be like a little more standalone. Like, Daddy, Why'd You Steal My Fries, that original episode?
Yeah.
You could just watch that episode. I've never seen an episode of Adventure Time, and you got
That's true.
All the characters are introduced. And that is not a knock on this episode. That is just...
Okay, like, I see what you're saying.
You're saying S tier, I'm saying A plus tier. Like, it's...
I don't know what those tier things mean, but I've been hearing
them a lot. S is the best one, yeah.
Why is S the best one?
You know, actually, I don't know where it comes from, but it's a ranking system that kids use. It's S and then A through F. Like, the... American school system, A through F, but S is on top.
Like superior.
It's from
I saw something called. Okay, maybe I.
I know how to use it, and I've seen the ranking systems, but I actually don't know. I think it's from a game.
Okay, well, we're gonna find out. We're gonna learn some millennial slang. This might be post millennial.
I think this is probably millennial.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's not. It's literally just from Japan.
Oh.
Apparently in Japan, they have, according to this one answer on Reddit, S tier is a variation of S rank, which is judge performance on basic completion. Oh, wait, no. Wait. Yeah. Originally created in Japan, anything below C was considered a failure. The S rank allowed for a wider range of acceptable grades. So basically, you can't be mediocre. Or, you know, C, so they said, well, B and A are the passing grades, but it's like, well, we kind of need more people to pass, so they say S rank.
Okay.
Is the explanation here. And this guy has a link to describe it, which I'm not going to click on, but the fact that there's a link in here makes me at least think this probably might be a good answer.
This is how you determine, ladies and gentlemen, if something on the internet is true.
Well, this is how you determine something on the internet is true while you're recording a show, and it's very unprofessional for me to be looking shit up during it. That was very.
We do it almost every show.
Yeah, but that was very much a audience at home. I don't know if you know this, but Eric handles the editing of the show these days, and that was me just trying to make it easier on him that there's not 2 30-second gaps if I was in my room by myself, I would be checking a little more thoroughly than that one link on Reddit I saw.
Oh no, I feel like the
answer above
knows.
It was from Quora, so at least I went to a slightly more reputable source.
Oh shit, I don't even know which one of those is more accessible.
Reddit's much better, because at least Reddit there's like the consensus of the crowd. Quora is like the Yahoo answers of modern times.
Yeah.
It's just the dumbest people saying dumb shit.
It is indeed.
Hey, Eric, speaking of dumb people saying dumb shit, may have found some shiny rocks for you.
Well, hold on, let's start this in the proper way. Hey, Alex, do you have any shiny rocks available?
No, I didn't find any for this week.
Oh, shit.
My shiny rock was that introduction. No, I do. I found a list of shiny rocks. My favorite.
Ooh.
I like a list.
Well, I like them when they have themes where it's like top 10 weird foods that you've never heard the names of before.
Yeah, these are old English words that we wish we could use again, or we're trying to bring back into...
Those are my favorite kind.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've got a list of 13 words.
Uh-huh.
A few of them, I want you to guess which number you want. A few of them we're going to skip because I think I've done on the show before, or they're just really dumb.
Okay. Let's do number 11.
Number 11 is one of the ones we're going to skip. It's just unfriend. They're just basically saying we use that word in like the 1200s also to mean the exact same thing as you would say.
Then let's do number 12.
Number 12 is a very cool word, but I think very guessable, so I would like you to guess. Okay. What do you think constellate means?
Constellate. I would guess that it means to gather in a group.
Yeah, yeah, to cluster together. Yeah. So literally, it's where constellation comes from. Like it's,
yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is that a word that doesn't get used anymore?
I think constellate isn't.
Okay. Okay.
You know, constellation, of course, we use all the time. Yeah. You know?
Okay. All right. I like that one. That's I would definitely vote for using that again.
Yeah. I'm going to give you number one.
Okay.
And these are not like ranked. It's just the first one on the list. Elf lock.
I believe an elf lock might be kind of like a cowlick, like a piece of hair.
Yeah, I thought you might know this one weirdly. I was like, like if we were doing bets, like I'm not saying to put heavy money down, but like, like this feels like something Eric would know.
Is my right?
Yeah. Okay, it's literally, it's just when your hair gets tangled up, they blamed it on the elves. Because there's an old, there's a thing with horses is the reason I thought you might know this, that they believe that fairies would braid horses' hair. And yada, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like kind of the same sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How about number seven?
Number seven is mickle.
Mickle. Mm-hmm. Like nickel, but with an M?
Yes.
I'm going to guess that a mickle is a short pour of beer.
Oh, that's, I mean, you're totally wrong, but that's a good word, like, because it kind of combines tipple, there's
hey, Mac, I'll have a mickle of ale.
Yeah. No, but it's actually kind of the exact opposite. It's great, large, or much. So, like, a mickle storm is a giant storm. Oh, wow.
Okay, so I got it backwards. Okay.
Yeah. Also, you could have a mickle of TikTok followers is the phrase they use on here. But, yeah, mickle is not one that I would necessarily want to bring back. The one that I like on this list that, like, I think we could – okay, the one I like on this list because I'm me is a collagenous.
Does that have to do with having a large butt?
No, that's calipigenous.
Yeah. I just made me think of it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's collagenous?
Collagenous is misty, dim, and dark.
Ooh, I love that.
It's nice. First recorded in English in the 1540s. But that's a good one. And then there's another one I like on here that you're probably going to know this one.
All right, let's
But it's
hear
one
it.
Of those words I hear once every 6 years and go, oh, yeah, that's a cool word. I should remember it. Crapulent.
Oh, shit, that is a cool word. I do know that one. I've forgotten it.
Crapulent is a sick from gross excess in drinking or eating.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's right.
I bet you've learned that word four times as well.
Oh, yeah, I've learned that word over and over. Yep.
I would love to believe this is the time I'm going to remember it. Probably not. Is there any more good ones on here? There's another kind of fun one, concupiscible.
Concupiscible. Yes. I know. This is another one of those words that I've learned for it because concupiscence.
That's the word I know. Yeah.
But I've forgotten what it means. So concupiscible, I would guess it means something that is able to be made concupiscent.
Concupiscent is basically I'm horny.
I had that as a.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Concupiscible means worthy of being desired. Something being concupiscible. Now, the reason...
So,
Calipigian women could be concupiscible.
Calipigian women
also Calipigian men. Let's not... And Calipigian thems.
All Calipigians are concupiscible.
How's yes. I mean, you know, you need unique New York. I think we just invented a new one. Yes. It's a great word. It's just... It might be the hardest word to pronounce. In the entire list.
Yeah. Concupiscent is a very difficult word.
Oh, and just because we are ostensibly a show that has some occult overleanings, I will give one more.
Okay.
And I didn't look up. Let me look up how to pronounce it. Sorry, because I don't know what the last syllable is. Hagrid. Oh, it is. So Hagrid.
Hagrid.
Yeah, or Hagrid.
Isn't that a character from Harry Potter?
I think that's where she got the word from. Oh. And by she, I mean the monstrous cunt that wrote Harry Potter that we won't say her name.
We won't.
Pardon me for using the C word, but it is accurate in this case.
It's better than saying her name.
Yes. So Hagrid, I think it's grade. The link is from dictionary.com, which shows really shitty way to pronounce things.
Yes. What does it mean?
I'll just read the whole thing for you. to afflict with worry, dread, need, or the like, torment.
Uh-huh.
But its word's origin story that might strike a chord with modern witches, the word is related to witchcraft, namely how witches were once thought to ride brooms and torment unsuspecting parties with hexes or nightmares. Over time, it came to refer to anything that causes personal torment, as in all these Zoom meetings are really hagriding me or hagriding me.
Huh.
Comes from witchy shit. Yeah.
Well, I feel like this is a really good list of words that should be brought back. I'm always a fan of expanding our vocabulary and including cool old words. So,
I also would like to shout out somebody on. So I've been doing the TikTok streaming, Twitch streaming, and someone was talking to me about the whiz-bizzing. And we're talking about the word section, and he or she or they, I don't know their pronouns, basically went, well, why is that on a show about Adventure Time? And like, I can't answer that question. There is no answer. It's just we both like words and we like having things to talk about in between episodes. So that's the origin. And I think the response was something along the lines of, oh, that's dope. Like, cool. Yeah.
I mean, I guess we talked about having segments and doing more segments when we first planned the show. And I like it because, you know, I miss the Alex cast a lot. And there's something
that makes one of you.
But I mean, there's something about this show that makes it feel a little Alex Casty to me.
Yeah. Somebody else mentioned that too, that like the word nerd stuff reminds them of the old days. Oh.
Season 4, episode 26, The Lich.
I wish, before you get on with that thought,
that
either of us could do an impression of The Lich. Not even just to do an impression of The Lich, but if either of us could get our voice that deep. Man, that'd be cool shit. Like, I don't even know how you live your life with, like, that power.
Well, I'll tell you how. You're Ron Perlman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, your life rules, is my guess. Yeah.
You get to have basically all the best lines in the universe.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, we don't recognize your bullshit MC. And, like, every single Hellboy line.
Hi,
and,
I'm
like,
Hellboy. I think that's in that movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, I'm in hell and I'm a boy.
This episode is a good one for a number of reasons, and it's also frustrating because it ends the season with on like a cliffhanger where horrible things have happened and we don't get to meet Prismo yet.
So
right
on that note, I in the past referenced like this is the season I started watching Adventure Time, and I was never very sure. I know that I watched this episode before the next episode was available. Because I remember being not annoyed at it, but going like, no, I did. What? He's a fucking different character design and Jake can't talk. Like, he's got a robot arm. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then realizing that there isn't, I don't even know if I watched it like live when it aired. It may have been between seasons when I found the show, but I remember thinking I was annoyed that I had to wait for the next episode. And that's a good sign of a good episode because I was like, no, he's on a farm. Holy shit.
I feel like I went through that experience too. I'm not sure. We could pinpoint, like, I think, you know, my origin story with Adventure Time, we can pinpoint exactly when I started watching, but only if the stripper who told me about this comes forward.
Yeah.
Her stripper name was Salem, and she was dancing at the Safari Club. And she's the one who told me about Adventure Time.
Well, we know the Safari Club is closed, so we can pinpoint when that happened. So you know it's before that point.
I think the Safari Club closed. I think it closed after Adventure Time finished.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that makes it tough. That basically. So yeah.
Naked women scare me, so I've never been in a strip club.
You've never been in a strip club?
No, I have. I just wanted to say naked women scare me. I thought it'd be a fun thing.
Naked women scare me too.
I'm an adult male talking about cartoons. I thought it'd be a funny thing to introduce onto the show that, you know, now canonically Alex is afraid of naked women. Naked men in them too. They're all terrifying.
Naked.
That's why there's no mirrors in here. Not just the vampire thing. It's also I'm afraid of my body.
This is also why neither of us has a hairless cat. Because hairless cats are naked and they're terrifying.
Yeah, that's true. They are. They're disgusting. They look like scrotum. Let's talk about this episode so I stop talking about this.
Well, let's start with the Cosmic Owl.
Yes, Cosmic Owl as seen on TV in Finn's dream.
Yeah.
the Cosmic Owl shows up in what I thought were just croak dreams. Or is it just when he shows up in dreams, that means there's a reality to them?
I think that the first time it happens is when Jake has a croak dream.
Yeah.
Or his croak dream. But I'm not sure that – I think that it's only a croak dream because he dies in the dream. And it has significance because the Cosmic Owl.
Yeah, that's what I say. As I say that, I think that's – yeah. So just Cosmic Owl showing up something means it has significance.
Yeah, it means that there's something portentous in the dream.
Who is Billy making out with? It's like a green thing with like – it looks like strapped on fairy wings.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think it's like one of those like kind of peasant villagers you see every now and again. But
yeah.
I couldn't place it.
I know that by the end of season five, we meet Billy's significant other.
Yeah. And she's awesome.
Yeah. But she doesn't show up in this one. God, there's just – there's some dark shit in this episode. One of the things I love about the Lich is that the Lich is like a terrifyingly real and terrifyingly deadly adversary in an otherwise like mostly lighthearted cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious to me that the Lich keeps getting defeated by, you know, an 11-year-old and his dog.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it doesn't make the Lich feel very good either.
Yeah, it's interesting. But the thing is, him continually getting defeated keeps him in work. Because we do find out later, like, if he ever wins, he just gets bored and just, like, sits in a room till he dies.
Yeah, and even – so – and the other thing that we find out later, I think we're going to find this out next season, you know, he gets trapped in Prismo's, you know, time cube or whatever. And with nothing to do, he just – the Lich just shuts down. Like, the Lich is kind of just a machine.
Yeah.
But also, the Lich killed Billy.
Well, so let's – before we get to that – I mean, we're getting to that right there. The Lich killed Billy, but he kills Billy off screen, which is kind of amazing. But I love – so Finn has the dream. They're like, hey, let's go check on Billy. Finn can't say that to Billy because he's like a fanboy. And Jake just says, we came to see if you're dead. Which is so fun for a children's show.
Yeah. And it turns out that Billy was dead. On the Adventure Time wiki, there are all these little clues. Like, all these things sort of point to the fact that Billy was dead the whole time.
So how far back is he dead?
Well, not super far back. He definitely died off screen. But the episode...
So the last time we saw Billy, we think it's Billy.
Yes. The last time we saw Billy, it was Billy. Because the Lich was in the snail.
Yes.
And the bear brought the Enchiridion to the snail.
Yeah.
And it was after that that...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But some of the stuff that was really fascinating that I hadn't really realized is the Lich is unable to talk to anybody. The Lich can't directly interact with those magic gems.
I don't think I put that together.
So the Lich, apparently the Lich never has dialogue with anybody who has a gem and a crown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to pay attention to that.
Huh. And so when Jake is carrying, has the thing in his head where he's carrying all the magic gems, the Billy never talks directly.
That's
to him.
Why he wasn't talking. I didn't put, I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on there. I didn't put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing to bring – so they're stealing the gems from the various Princess Eye.
Mm-hmm.
They take the thing out of LSP's head, which is very gross and squishy.
So gross.
But it doesn't go into the Enchiridion. It doesn't do the thing. So like did they just pull a piece of jewelry out of their friend's head?
I don't know.
Because that was
really gross.
Yeah, there was a lot of – yeah, that was problematic on a fair amount of levels.
I mean, I think a big part of it just sort of points to the fact that, like, lumpy space isn't really part of Ooh.
Yeah.
Possibly. And maybe LSP isn't a princess in the same way the other princesses are.
Yeah. Also, exceptional stupidity from Finn and Jake, which, you know, they're stupid, but...
Yeah.
Like, hey, the greatest hero we've ever known wants us to steal things from our friends. Like,
yeah
man, I know, come on. I'm not saying you go, hey, you're the Lich, but like, let's raise a pink flag at least.
Well, they did a little bit. You know, they were like, why don't we just ask him? And Lich Billy was like, no time. We have to move fast.
Yeah, that's.
But then when they got to Princess Bubblegum, like, there should have been a dialogue there.
The thing that is weird about it is, like, when it comes to Princess Bubblegum, their interaction with her took time, right? Like, they had to stop and fight her to get the gem out of her crown. And they never stopped to listen. So, yeah, I think that there is something really stupid about the fact that, like, Finn and Jake didn't question Billy at all.
Yeah, and they know LSP Princess Bubblegum is smart as shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, them trying to – yeah, they're just – whatever. It's a great episode. It's fun. Yeah. But, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, because it is a show that's – a lot of the show isn't built to be questioned on that kind of credit right. level, and yeah. it's fine. But it's like sometimes you're like, man, that's like, if I may use a term I hate, that is hella stupid.
Yeah. I can see it happening, though, in Finn and Jake's character just because they're, you know, Finn's a kid and he gets caught up with the adventure and caught up in the moment. And hero worship when you're a kid is super, super intense and weird.
But the hero is like a non-thieving, like very upright. Like, it just feels like this would be one of those, like, there's those episodes that Finn, like, can't do, like, I can't punch you because it's against my hero code or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like this would fall into the, like, I can't tackle my friend Bubblegum and steal her signet of royalty.
Yeah, yeah. A signet is usually a ring. But it's a symbol. It's a symbol of her royalty.
No, wise. Signet was the word I was thinking of, but what's a swan?
It's a bird.
But isn't signet swan?
I don't know.
Shit. Sorry.
Shiny rock emergency.
Okay, yeah, yo. Live. Alex finds
this
shiny
is a
rock.
Live shiny rock emergency. Breaking news. We'll cut over to our correspondent in the field, Alex,
yes,
with two X's.
A mute swan is a signet. Cygnet. Signet.
Oh, and but not the same as signet. A signet. Sig.
I'm gonna put signet crown. Yeah, it looks like it's just rings,
mm-hmm.
and that's spelled Signet. I mean, I think we knew how that one was spelled. I just want to make sure.
So there is a signet that is a mute swan.
Yes, and there's a signet that's a thing on a ring for making sigils with.
Well, thank you for your rapidity in responding to our shiny rock emergency. Yeah.
Beetle beep beep beetle beep beep. Shiny rock emergency.
And now back
and all
to
the ships at sea.
And now back to the show.
Now we're going to talk in Mid-Atlantic accents for the rest of the episode.
So this show, it's got that huge emotional punch at the end when it reveals that Billy is dead and the Lich is inside Billy's skin. But then in the meantime, you've got these revelations about things in Adventure Time that are just teased.
If I may lead with one.
Yes.
Apparently there's a fetus princess.
Yes, we'd seen her before.
Oh, have we? I forgot about that completely. That got me.
I'm talking about the multiverse thing.
I needed to bring up the fact that there's a fucking fetus princess. This is so absurd.
I think they call her embryo princess.
Yeah, perfect. The multiverse stuff, because they refer to it as the holographic universe. And, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, I really, really like that.
And Booko.
Well, Prismo, they tease Prismo. They mention his name. They mention... whatever the name of his, it's not the time cube. What's the name of his spot? The time room?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, of course.
I don't remember. I think it's the time cube.
Yeah.
Time
room, maybe?
Time room?
It's
time
not
cube?
Time cube. Time cube is something
Time room
else.
Sounds, yeah, time cube is a thing though, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's, yeah, I think time room.
Okay. Yeah. But it's just crazy because it's the end of the season. It's the end of season four, and they're dropping all these hints that there's like a bigger, wider, stranger world out there. And then the episode ends, and you don't get to see any of it in reality.
Yes.
You just get to see what Booko shows us. You know, just the little snippets, a little bit of exposition. And that's daring, I think. In a way, like they probably already knew that they're getting renewed for a new season.
Oh, you're saying from a creator perspective.
Yeah.
I think ending the season on a different character design for Finn and Jake being you know, non-sentient or whatever is, that's ballsy. I mean, I guess, I guess they must have known there's another season coming up, but like, imagine they got canceled like the last episode of fucking Adventure Time. It's a, like essentially the,
it's basically, it's an all, it's a Bob Newhart ending.
Yeah. The fan theory would be, well, it's been, it was in this farm kid's head all the entire time. And
oh man.
That'd be, I mean, I would hate a universe that didn't have the rest of Adventure Time, but like, that would be a kind of classic ending. Like what a fucking, or like the, whatever that, that daytime soap opera that turns out the entire thing was in the head of like a little autistic boy when he was staring at a snow globe.
I don't even know the name of it,
but like that kind of thing. It's like, really? That's, it was just like some farm kid. All right. I mean, farms are boring. So, you know.
Are farms boring?
I would assume so. What the fuck else? What are you going to do there? Farm?
Well, there's a lot of digging and shit. You got to do, then there's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of poop that you have to deal with. There's plants. There's all sorts of stuff.
All right. So fine. It's really sexy.
So I have a question for you,
Alex. I have an answer.
Do you remember earlier in this season when Finn and Jake had to go get the Enchiridion and they ran into the Keeper? He was this little dorky dude on the top of the
mountain. I do indeed.
And then you remember the Door Lord?
I do.
Do you feel like Bukko, Keeper, and Doorlord all have like similar character designs?
Yes.
I think they're the same species.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, they're probably like terminus beings or like liminal space beings where it's like, you know, doors, lock and door, the same things, locks, and then books doors. Are the entry into the thing. But like that would make total sense. Yeah, no, I feel like they're probably some kind of like elven conclave, and they all have their little like the Japanese kami.
Yeah, I think they deserve a spinoff.
Yeah, or we
like
could
the time variance authority, but it's the the liminal space elves.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we could do is between us invent a thing where there's actually only one of them, and because of the multiverse, it's him incarnating into various things, but on the same timeline at somewhat the same time.
Oh, so you're talking like Chris the Emotion Lord.
Yes.
You haven't watched Bravest Warriors.
No, I have no idea what Curse the Emotion Lord is.
Oh, man. Yeah. You need to watch Bravest Warriors.
I watched the first couple episodes and I didn't like it.
Well, you should just
I didn't, like, hate it. I just didn't.
You should try it. Just stick with it. See
I did. I watched two. I mean,
that's
I
not may sticking with three. It. That's the opposite of sticking with it.
How long do I have to stick with it?
10 episodes. Each episode's like 10 minutes.
Yeah, long. No, you're right. I can do 10. Okay. If you feel like that, if 10 will win me over, I'm willing to, I'll devote 10.
10 will win you over.
Worth. Okay. Yeah.
You have to at least watch until Catbug shows up. How's that?
Okay.
I think that's probably 4 or 5 episodes in.
Okay.
But once you see Catbug, I think you'll be hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, what an ending in this one.
Oh, also, we just probably should put like very clearly. Billy gets his face melted off by the laser of a gumball guardian and the lich's face comes out. Like, let's, I know we kind of breezed over, but like, I think audience home, you need a beloved character's face gets melted off and then an immortal, and, like a psychopomp demon is underneath.
I know. It's dark as
it
fuck.
It really is.
And there's that scene right before that where you're kind of starting to sense something is wrong where Finn and Jake are like eating sandwiches and it's all dark. It's just black.
Yeah.
Like all around them. And that, like, I mean, I knew it was coming because I'd seen this episode before, but that particular scene just reminded me of, like that kind of psychic wave that the lich does where you're like sucked into his weird lich, perception. So, yeah, I mean, this episode is so dark, you know, and it's funny, like, both of the episodes at the end of the season are like real. They carry a ton of emotion. You know, I Remember You is just like really melancholy. And this one is terrifying. Like, this is a kid's show.
Yeah. This is kind
is
of the movie.
Is this a kid's show?
Well, so there's this kind of theory on kid's shows that last a while, like of this variety, is that a lot of them will try to age with the kids. So this is 4 seasons, probably 5 years later or whatever, or maybe not that long, but like,
so the kids are the same age as Finn.
Yeah. So
13, 14,
they're getting to their, you know, so even if you're aiming 10 through 14, you can't have season one stuff. So you could see it kind of moving that. I mean, not every show does that, but like it's because you can't expect to get new people every season that are the same age, you know, it gets played out. So if you age with it and they're getting to that kind of dark, you know, emo 13 and
I mean, the end of this episode, that sort of like hopeless fight that Finn and Jake are trying to keep the Lich from making it through the portal.
Yeah.
And then the flash to Farmworld. You know, I just, it's great. I am very, very excited about discussing episode 5 with you. I think that just like the first two episodes alone, like there's just so much stuff going on and we're finally getting into the meat of this show that inspired us to do this podcast.
I would say in our, you know, our conversations that happened before the start of WizBiz, I think those conversations, a lot of them had season 5 included. Not said the word season 5, but I feel like that's the stuff when we talk about, like us always talk about Adventure Time, that's what we're referencing. And I'm excited to kind of delve into the meaty stuff. And, you know, even season 4, I feel like season 4 wasn't nearly as season 3, 2, 1. There was a lot of, I'm kind of surprised by how little I'm resonating with some of these episodes. Season 4 is like, even the ones we didn't discuss and I didn't feel like watching, they weren't like misses. They're just like, oh, this doesn't fit our remit.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the kind of completely I'm not enjoying them episodes are, you know, downslope to the point of like season 5. I looked at the list. I'm like, I think I enjoyed every single one of these. Now, I didn't look that deeply. I'm sure there's a couple clunkers in there.
Yeah. I think one of the things we should do. So since this is our season ender, we will be taking a little bit of break.
I was going to talk to you about that. Yeah. Let's take a break.
what I would like to do is I would like to ask our audience, why don't you tell us which season 5 episodes are absolute keepers and which ones should be on our skip list.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. We are at WizBiz Podcast on all the various social medias. I have recently been actually doing Twitter, holding my nose because there's people there. And
it's a shitter.
Yeah, it is what it is. But I know you guys are out there, so if you want to talk to us. And also, on the social media note, I have been putting up TikToks. So if you want to follow us on TikTok at WizBiz Podcast, it's just quotes of the show you've already heard, but like, you know, it's fun to support your friends, right? And we're your friends parasocially.
We are your friends. If you are listening to this podcast, thank you.
Not you though, Dave.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, what the hell? Dave. Please don't make us get a restraining order again.
Yeah, I know. Walking around all Dave like.
I do have a couple exciting things about the cast. One of them we've talked about before. Billy is played by Lou Ferrigno, who was, you know, the Incredible Hulk.
Was Lou Ferrigno Billy in this episode?
Yes.
Okay, because his first line sounded weird that I thought maybe they recast him when he woke up. I mean,
I don't know.
I think I would have been in the notes
I just looked on IMDb.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
And the other one that I really that I didn't realize, I don't think I recognize the voice in this episode, but I looked it up and I was just sort of like, oh my God. Ming-Na Wen is playing Minerva, Finn's mother.
Oh, that's cool.
And we just hear her voice, like she's off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love her. She's incredible. I mean, I've watched all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. twice.
I think I might be on 3 times. the third, admittedly, a lot of skip episodes of that show.
Yeah,
I watched a lot of them on the
But I mean, she just carries that show so well. So that was really exciting for me to find out. And I don't know if she continues playing Finn's mom. And I don't remember how much Finn's mom we get in season 5. But
I know, but when we actually meet Finn's mom, I can't imagine that's Ming-Na Wen.
Minerva, I don't think. Yeah, like on the island. I don't think that's Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those are going to be fun episodes when we get to those.
Also, if you're one of those people out there like cares about names, I understand her name's different now or went back to that. That's not us being, you know, insensitive. If there's some story there, we just don't know.
Yeah.
Cause like, I think sometimes she's Ming-Na and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she is now.
Oh.
So just in case there's something there that we're not, if that's some weird shit that
I don't know.
That's just us not knowing. Like
I know zero things about her personal life. I don't know.
At one point I looked her up and there was like, wait, there was more names to her at one point.
Yeah. And I just love watching her.
She's terrific.
She's just a great actress.
Yeah. She was even good in, a very mediocre Star Wars series on.
Really?
Yeah, she played Fennec Shan, Bounty Hunter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I do have some show and tell for our final segment.
Yes.
Before we decide who won the episode. I have a new tiny synthesizer. This is a Korg Volca FM2. So it's a tiny synthesizer. I'm going to play a little bit of it right now, and I know that it's not going to pick up very well on this, so I'll just put in some stuff when I'm editing the episode.
That is cool. It's very, I mean, this is going to be the dumbest thing anybody's ever said. Very synthy.
Yeah.
Like in that cool, like 80s synth. Like it's got that vibe.
This is totally 80s synth vibe, yeah. Except that it's polyphonic, right? So you can play more than one note at the same time.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize old synths you can.
Yeah, old synths are mono synths.
Oh, no shit. Oh, okay.
Probably up until like maybe 84, 85.
Wow. I did not know that.
All those old synths, like if they sounded like they were playing more than one note, it was just what they had done with a waveform.
Yeah.
But now this one has six voices, so it can do up to six notes at once.
Oh, that's cool. Right.
Yeah, and the reason I got it is for my keytar. It's got a MIDI input, so I can plug my keytar into this, and I can play it. And it has it does have some like really classic electric piano noises too.
Do you think your keytar, your door tar, and your book tar are related?
You know, I've been watching them really carefully, and yeah, I think that they are related.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that is a swell little bit of thing. I like it a lot.
I'm really happy with it.
I feel like that's you can make a lot of like arcade soundtracks on that.
Mm-hmm,
I would like to tell you this though.
Yeah.
Obviously, Booko won the episodes.
Yeah, I feel like there are very few extra characters. I think that if we really boiled it down, it would be between. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. There's that dream sequence.
Yeah.
And there are two characters in the dream sequence that we might want to consider a little bit.
Okay.
The first is the Cosmic Owl.
Yes.
Who has like almost no part and is just on a little TV. He's almost a flagship for like the Who Won the Episode idea, right? Because he's almost not there at all.
It's a good argument.
The other one that I would really like to recommend is the bear in the dream.
Yeah.
Who wears a mask and runs around in circles and is kind of almost David Lynchian in how weird he is.
Yeah.
Who is also just a minor character that is talked about and doesn't really do anything.
If the mask hadn't appeared in a previous episode, I uh-huh. think that'd be a strong argument. But because that's from an old episode, eh.
Okay. So what do you think about the Cosmic Owl versus Booko? Another possibility might be Gunther. I don't know that he's won an episode yet. And at some point, I feel like before Orgmalorg shows up, Gunther probably deserves to win an episode.
Yeah.
He does a lot of heavy lifting in the background.
I think it's Cosmic Owl or Booko, and mm-hmm. I think
Booko talks too much.
It doesn't talk too much to be. He's still a minor character.
It's true.
I think that we should just have a split vote.
Okay. What do you think?
I'm going to stick with Booko. You go for Cosmic Owl. And yeah,
all right. So they both win.
Yeah, we got two winners. There's no reason we have to agree.
Congratulations to Cosmic Owl and Booko for winning these episodes.
You can pick up your rewards at the stand.
Yeah, it's in the dream world.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, because we have nothing.
So, Alex.
Hi.
I really, really need to remind you of something very important. We can be found on every single social media platform as WizBiz Podcast. And if you are on a social media platform and you look up WizBiz Podcast and we're not there, then that social media platform is bullshit and you shouldn't be there either.
Yeah. Though I think you just dunked on the only one that you like going on.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah.
Eric only likes
Mastodon. I guess I'm going to have to make a Mastodon account for us.
Yeah, whatever. I bet you could probably find a thing where every time it posts to Blue Sky or Mastodon, just a script that does it.
Oh, yeah. I think I could definitely do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying we actually start a Mastodon. I'd just be like, that's one of the smart ones that actually probably wouldn't involve any work other than the setup of just like push button, go to places.
So I guess the other thing is like our real call to action, like definitely find us in social media, but like the real call to action. So we're about to head into season 5 and I think that this is going to be where the show really shines, where Adventure Time really shines, and where we have a lot to talk about in terms of like occult stuff in Adventure Time. So please tell your friends. You know, this is a great time for them to catch up since we're between seasons. You know, we're not going to have new episodes coming out for a little while. We haven't decided how long yet. So please tell a friend to get him to catch up. Listen to episodes together. In fact, here is my prescription for you as a doctor of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Find a friend. Get some legal weed. Edibles are amazing stuff. Get some pizza. If your friend is gluten-free, they can sit outside. But, you know, I'm sure there's good gluten-free pizza somewhere.
You already dug your hole, baby. Don't try to don't try to include me now.
Do an Adventure Time binge with marijuana and pizza.
Yes.
And just enjoy every bit of it. And then tell your friend, like, you should listen to these guys talk about Adventure Time. It sounds like they're always stoned and eating pizza. And then we will see you next season for Adventure Time Season 5 and yes. WizBiz Season 5.
We will see you then. Good evening.
Guten Nacht.
The ending was not believable.